We are Warren Youth Ministry. Join us as we delve into God's Word, igniting fire in the hearts of men.
Fire on your head in the name of Jesus. Oh, Kaduze Brandi Kalwaze Kataya Rakabande Kali Adozi Antaya Kaba. Father, oh God, we have come to your presence, oh God. Activate us. Tear our spirit up in the name of Jesus. Tear us up. In the name of Jesus, stir us up. In the name of Jesus, Rakodi Imandu Zibranda Labadua, Adadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadad Begin to release the atmosphere. The Bible says that whatever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus, I am giving you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In the name of Jesus, this delegated authority we have, in the name of Jesus, you use this authority to trample upon serpents. You use this authority to trample upon demons. You use this authority to trample upon the demons in your family house. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Pray right now. Pray. In Jesus' name. Today is spiritual warfare. You know something? There are some things. I want you to take this prayer session seriously. I want us to read. I want to show you something. We are still in the week of revival. I want to show you something. Give me the whole verse chapter of Hebrews chapter 6. Please pay attention. I want to show you something. Please, and unmute your mics. You know something? God is not a man. If you want something from God, you have to be serious about it and pray. Everyone should unmute their mics, except you're in a car and you are going somewhere. And this is a spiritual activity. Thou sayest the Lord. So please unmute your mic. And now let's be serious and pray. So give me the whole of Hebrews chapter 6. I want to show you guys something. Hebrews chapter 6. There's something very interesting that I found out yesterday that God showed me. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me about it. Okay, please go into the chat box and look at this, and let's read after me. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. You see, do you know? It means that there are some doctrines that are for babes in Christ. And now, as you begin to grow in the maturity of God, there's another doctrine where Paul calls it the chewing of bones, where that doctrines are for matured believers, where that doctrine, when they are speaking to you, you are already on a foundation of basic doctrines, that what they are teaching you is a continuation of what you already should have known. So according to Hebrews chapter 6, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. So this continuous and says that for you to enter a perfect state in Christ, you are supposed to leave elementary things. Some of these elementary things, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Please, do you know something? Give me NLT. NLT makes it simple for everybody to understand. and give me the whole chapter. It's a long scripture. I want to show you something. I want to show you the reason why when God promises you, it is going to happen no matter what. You didn't put it in the chat box. Okay. So let me see where did it end? When the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears. Let's read. So it says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become matured in our understanding. Surely, we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. So what? Do you know what it means? It means repenting from your evil deeds and placing your faith in God is the basics of Christianity. So Hebrews, they are telling you that those are the most basic things. We don't, it's not now, if you are here till now and somebody is forcing you to repent, you repent from your sins and telling you that what you are doing is not good. That is the basics of God. Repent. So he's trying to say, surely we don't need to start again from the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing your faith in God. So repenting from your evil deeds and placing your faith in God is the basic thing. So he says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Some of us, we are stuck in the basic teachings of Christ. Repent, oh, repent. Repent, oh, repent. Put your faith in God. Those are the basic things. You have to graduate from that level. You have to graduate. You have to graduate from that level. Repenting from your evil deeds and placing your faith in God. All those fundamentals and all those foundations were left for babies in Christ. Now continue. It says, you don't need further instructions about baptism. It means that your basic understanding of baptism, you should know by now, as a baby in Christ, you should know about baptism. And the laying of hands, meaning the laying of hands is a basic doctrine in Christianity. Putting your hands on people for them to be healed is basic. The resurrection of the dead, meaning, you see, raising dead is even a basic doctrine, because the Bible says, heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captive free. Those are the basic things. And the what? The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. Mm-hmm. So what is this further understanding? For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit. So, you know, there are some people who have tasted the goodness of God in the land of the living. There are some people that God has shown himself strong to. There are some people, apart from all these basic teachings I'm talking about, there are some people that have gone to church and experienced and had an encounter with God. They've even encountered the Holy Spirit. They said, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the power of the age to come. It means that there's a power, there's something to come. It is coming. It is coming. And you, God has made you taste what is to come. It is yet to come. God has made you taste it. And who then turn away from God? You know what God is trying to say? God is trying to say, after knowing all these things, after knowing all the basics, after knowing all these things, you still turn away from him. God is saying that those kind of people, it is impossible to bring such people back to repentance. By rejecting the Son of God, they themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up in public shame. When the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessings. Were you able to continue for me? Okay.
Verse 7. When the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears up good crops for the farmer, it has God's blessings. Please pay attention. It has God's blessings. But it is, but if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. The farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it. So if you have a farm, and instead of it to bear fruit, it is bearing weeds. They are trying to tell you that you are going to burn the weeds. Verse 9, it says, dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things. That comes with salvation. For God is not just unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him. Now, this is where I want you to concentrate on. You see the way some of us have been waking up at dawn. Some of you, apart from dawn, you wake up at 12 a.m. to pray. Some of you go to church every day. Some of you are doing the extra things. You see, when you read Hebrews, it says that let's drop those basic things. Let's drop those basic things. The basic things of repentance, the basic things of there are so many basic things in Christianity. It says let's drop it. And now, do you know what God is trying to say? God is trying to say, after you dropping those, he knows that the basic things and you wanting to enter perfection, no, he knows you are working hard. He knows that there are some people who are working hard towards that. So let's read verse 9 again. It says, dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things that come with salvation. Verse 10, listen to verse 10. It says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him. There are some people who serve God. Some of you serve God with your voice. Some of you serve God by serving the table. Some of you serve God by being a kingdom financier. Some of you serve God in many ways. And God says that God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have served him. And he will not forget how hard you have worked for him. And you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers. As you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritual dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Now let's read the last one. Now I want to tell you the reason why when God promises you, are you listening? It is going to come to pass no matter what. If God promised you that, Marco, this is what is going to happen to you. It is going to come to pass. Why? Why is it going to come to pass? When you read verse 13, it says, for example, there was God's promises to Abraham. Please, I want you to pay attention. Then after we are going to pray for revival to come. I want to bring your attention to something. For revival to hit you. For revival to come, you are supposed to believe in what God has said concerning your life. Hold that word, hold that promise as a weapon and use it to believe in God. Because the Bible says that God knows that you have served. God knows that you have worked hard. God knows that you are pushing towards perfection. God knows that you are not part of those people that have experience the goodness of God in the land of the living and have fallen short of it. God knows that you are not part of those people who hear about God, who God has worked miracles in their life, and then they'll just decide that I will not go to church again. I will not do this again. I will not serve God again. God knows that you are not part of those people. God knows that you are pushing towards perfection. So let's concentrate on 13. He says, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. So now let's look at how God promised Abraham. Then put your name there. There was God's promise to Nipa. There was God's promise to Nicholas. There was God's promise to Doreen. There was God's promise to Malco. This is how God promises people. Let me show you how God promises people. If God makes a promise to you, this is how he promises you. He says, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, it means that as God is there, the supreme God, you know, when you are swearing, you'll be like, I swear by God. I swear by God. God says that there was nobody greater than him to swear by. Listen, no. Please pay attention. Verse 13. It says, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you. So when God is promising you, do you know how God promises you? Because there's nobody greater than God for God to say, hey, this is this person or this being is greater than me. I am going to swear by that being. God knows that he himself is great. So God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will bless you. So God took an oath in Timur's name, saying, God took an oath in his name, saying, I'm going to bless you, Timur. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond numbers. Verse 15, let's pay attention. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he sees what God has promised him. Do you know why? When God promised Abraham, the reason why Abraham, after, do you know how long it took for God's promises to happen in Abraham's life? Some of you are here, and you are waiting, and you are waiting, and you are waiting, and you are waiting, and you think that God is not going to do it. Do you know the distance between God's promise to Joseph and to the time he became a prime minister? Do you know the distance between God's promise to Abraham and before he became the father of all nations? Do you know the distance between God's promise to Abraham and before he gave birth to the son, the promised son? The reason why God is never going to fail in his promise to you is because there are two things. Number one, the promise of God, and number two, an oath. So let's read verse 15. It says, then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call upon somebody greater than themselves to hold on them to it. So you know, when we're coming up, or when you go to the courtroom, or should I say when you're coming up, you realize that this traditionalist, when they are swearing, they swear by something that is greater than them. Let me show you the hierarchy. As you are here, you hear that all those traditional people are swearing by what's the name of those gods in Volta region? They swear by their names. Who can give me that? I've forgotten the name of the gods in the one that they said. What did you say?
Nopopo.
Exactly. You see somebody swearing by Nogokpo, saying that by the gods of Nogokpo. You know why he's doing that? It's because to him, he feels like Nogokpo is ahead of him. People don't swear about, no, you won't see somebody saying, I swear by Nicholas Doku that I'm going to do this for you. No, you are going to swear by something greater than you. That is why the people in Nogopo, that is the only thing they know that is greater than them. They have not met God yet to know that God is greater than them. To them, they know that to them, they feel like Nogopo is greater than them. But there's something greater than Nogopo. And that thing that is greater than Nogopo doesn't have anything that is greater than him again. The things I'm teaching is deep. Please pay attention. There's something greater than Nogopo, which is God. And there's nothing greater than God again. That is the end. Somebody, I've been hearing people asking this question. Who gave birth to God? Who created God? The answer is, God is self-existent and there's nothing greater than him again. From this scripture. This scripture says that now, verse 15, it says that, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. And since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you and I will multiply your descendants beyond numbers. Then verse 15 says that, then Abraham waited patiently and he received what God has promised. Then verse 16 says, then now when God took, when people take an oath, they call upon someone greater than themselves to hold them onto it. Then without any question, the oath is binding. Do you know what it means? When the person takes an oath, even if the person is swearing with Nogopo, Nogopo has bounded you. See, in the spirit world, there are legalities. You don't just stand up and do things. The reason why these people obey Nogopo is because anytime they swear by Nogopo, there's a bond. There's an oath. there's an oath that binds them to Nogoko, that when they misbehave, Nogoko will kill them. That is why it looks as if Nogoko has power. It is because they have sworn an oath to Nogoko to serve that god. And don't be deceived. Those things exist. Do you know why it exists? Let me tell you why it exists. When Moses went to, what's the name? When Moses went to Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people go. Pharaoh was, the God made Pharaoh's head strong. Instead of Pharaoh to say, oh, I'll let your people go, Pharaoh went to call magicians. And do you know, when you continue reading the Bible, whatever Moses did, the magicians did. It means that there are people who can copy what God is doing. But it doesn't mean that they are greater than what God is doing. You can just copy. But God will show you that there's a limit to what you can do. When the last, one of the last miracles that happened, that when Moses threw his sword, his staff down, and it turned into a snake, the magicians also did the same thing. They threw their sword down. This is not magic trick. So this is something that really, really happened. There are snakes. Their staff also became snakes. But the Bible said, when you continue reading, the Bible says that the staff of Moses swallowed the staff, the snakes of the magicians. And the magician said, this thing that has happened, truly, 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 this can only be God. Can you hit your chest and say, this can only be God? The reason why some of us, when God promises us, we don't believe it is because, number one, you don't believe that, number one, the promises of God is binding. We just continue. Verse 15. Then Abraham waited patiently and he received what God has promised. Verse 16 says, now when people take an oath, they call upon someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without question, the oath is binding. Verse 17, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could perfectly be sure that he would never change his mind. This is the reason why God can never lie. Let me tell you, this is the reason why God can never lie. When God says that, Maoko, I will make you great in Ghana, it is going to happen. That's why the Bible says that the vision is for an appointed time. Even though it tarries, wait. It is in Habakkuk. The vision is for an appointed time. Sometimes God will start your journey and it looks as if the road is rough, but it is for an appointed time. Whoever thought that Joseph, who will become a prime minister, will go and spend some time in prison? Whoever think that Job, who was one of the greatest people in the land, will go through all these things and God will restore him double again? Whoever thought that? So now let's continue to read. Verse 17, God also bounded himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So anytime God promises you, you should know that God is not going to change his mind about what he has said concerning your life. It is going to happen to the very letter. Your duty is to believe like Abraham and wait patiently for what God has said concerning your life. It is going to come to pass. I'm come to share a testimony that me coming to the UK by the grace of God is something God said even before I was born. You see, anything God says concerning your life is going to come to pass. There are a lot of things that are going on in your life that is going to come to pass no matter what. The only thing that can disrupt God's promises concerning your life is not God. It is not God. God is not going to disrupt his truth, because God, when immediately God opens his mouth and says, I am going to make David great. Finish. Final. God is not going to change his mouth and say, I was thinking I was going to make David great. I'm going to change my mouth and make David poor. No! Let's read verse 18. So God has given both his promises and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. So do you know Now, this is the hope we have, that God doesn't lie. This is the hope you have. Oh. So now, what do you do? You hold on to that hope like an anchor. When things are battling you, when you cannot pay your school fees, when you cannot do things, when you are in the prison like Joseph, when you are facing situations, when things are going wrong, when you are studying and the studying is not working well, when you are in a situation, hold on to the hope that God doesn't lie. Hold on to the hope that there are two things that are bounding God, the oath and the promise, and that whatever God has said concerning your life is going to come to pass. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. So how do we enter God's sanctuary? We holding a torchlight. And what is the torchlight? The torchlight of hope. And what is the hope? That God doesn't lie. And that God is bounded by oath. So we are holding on to the promise, and we are walking through the inner sanctuary. We are walking through God's inner sanctuary. We are going towards God. That is the hope that God says, whatever I have promised Nicholas Doku, whatever I've promised Angela, whatever I've promised Josie is going to come to pass. So number 20, chapter 20, Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our internal high priest. So do you know, Jesus came to earth to come and set an example. And he has gone through that sanctuary. He has gone through that inner gate. Now it is our turn to go through that inner gate. It means that we are on a process. We are on a journey to go there. That is why the Bible says he orders the steps of a righteous man. Why does God order the steps of a righteous man? Because God has already walked that path already. God has already walked there. Jesus Christ has already walked through that inner sanctuary already. He has already walked there. Now, it is your turn to walk through that inner sanctuary. So now, for you to walk there, he is ordering your path. He says, he orders the steps of a righteous man. He orders the steps of a righteous man. Now, we've been talking about revival this whole week. We've been talking about revival this whole week. Now, how can revival spark up in you? Revival cannot spark up in you if you have unbelief in your heart. You are there and you don't believe in the promises of God. You are there, whatever God has said concerning your life, you don't believe it. Believing is like the charcoal. It is like the charcoal by which when you put fire on it, the whole thing lights up. That is belief. If you don't have those things in your heart, the belief in the promises of God, the belief that God cannot lie, the belief that the promises of God bounds God to himself, you don't have those things, fire will not be on your heart. You cannot set yourself ablaze because you don't believe what God is saying. You cannot set yourself ablaze because you don't believe what God is saying. Today, I want us to unmute our mics. Everybody should unmute their mic. You know something? Unmute your mic. Angela, Sela, everybody, everyone. Unmute your mic. Marlo, Marco, Nathaniel, Timo. We are going to do something. If you are lying on your bed, sit up. We are going to do something. Now, God says that his promises are abounding. This is God's promise. Now, we are going to tell God that, God, look down from your holy habitation, from where you are dwelling, and help us believe in the promise, number one. As Abraham, the Bible said, Abraham believed in the promise and waited patiently. There are two things we need, belief and patience. When we are able to believe and we are able to be patient about what God has promised us, that is when the fire of God will fall upon us. So today we are praying about two things, believe and patience. That when even if God's promises are keeping long, they are yea and amen. They are yea and amen. It means that what God is saying is yea. Yea means it is so. It is going to happen. Open your mouth and begin to speak in tongues. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit maketh intercessions on us. Things that we do not even know how to say. The Holy Spirit will go through Joseph's spirit man and be like, what is Joseph thinking about? What is Joseph's deepest need? What is Joseph's deepest desire? I am going through Joseph's spirit and I'm beginning to find that this is what Joseph needs to pray about. But because there are so many things that are going on in her mind, she's not able to bring out those things into expression. Open your mouth and begin to speak in tongues right now. Begin to pray. Begin to pray and begin to release the atmosphere. Le adundu ali andua badaga badusha. Adu ali adush ali adaki adaka. Randati ali adush kanu kadua disha. Ragedi ali adu andala badusha. Mambu ipala badi bala badaga badaga. Bagondo rukutusha.
Do you know something?
Revival is coming. Do you know something? We are in the last days. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you know something? The Bible says that we are in the last days. In the last days, God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. This is the promise of God. And do you know what it means? It means that what God has promised is going to come to pass. Meaning God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. If you remember, last week, Monday, I was talking about the functional abilities of the Holy Spirit. This is a promise that God, apart from God pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh, God is also going to put his Spirit upon you. God is going to put up his Spirit upon you. Some of us are doing God's work without the Spirit of God upon us. That is why it looks as if we are struggling. We are struggling. You are serving in the church. You are laying hands upon the sick. You are doing the basic thing. You see, God says even the raising the dead is the fundamentals to Christianity. You are doing all those basic things. But still, the devil is hitting you left, right, center. Why? It's because you've not worn the uniform for functioning. In God's kingdom, you are supposed to wear a uniform. And the uniform is the Holy Spirit. Let me show you. Open to the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49. I want to show you something. You see, now we're going to read that. Do you know what we've read? We've read about the promise, that God's promise is bounding to himself. Now look at Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I want to show you something. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Give me the NIV version. I want to show you something. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Do you remember the Bible says that I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh? Now, that scripture, that scripture you are seeing there, it means that God is going to clothe you in power. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Good. Please go into the chat box. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Did you see the promise? When God promises you, it is bounding. God's promise is bounding to himself and an oath. As we read earlier, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power. So before God will send you that promise, you need the cloth. What is the cloth of power? The Holy Spirit. The functioning ability of the Holy Spirit upon your head. Let me give you an example of what happens in the UK. When you're in the UK, it's not like Ghana that everybody is wearing uniform. In the UK, the police in the UK, some of them are unmarked. When I say unmarked, it means that some of them are not wearing uniform. They call them undercover police. And you know, they are in under unmarked cars. They are in normal cars like every other person. Some of them are even using old cars. Some of them are, you see, all the cars that you are using are unmarked. But if you're a man, cross the traffic light. The moment you cross the traffic light, all you see is a blue light. Do you know what the blue light means? The blue light is delegated authority, delegated power from the government of the United Kingdom, telling you that, stop, you have broken a law. You have broken a law, stop. You can see somebody in traffic. You look to your left, because the UK people, they drive on their right. You look to your left and you see somebody in traffic, and the person, you can smile at the person, but when you cross the traffic light, all the person has to do is just put on his blue lights, and you realize that, hey, all this while, this guy is a police. But without the blue lights and all those things, you see him as a normal person. You see him as an ordinary person. Some of us, until we put on the blue light, until we are unmarked, until we put on power, that is how we can judge. That is how we can accept the promises of God. Some of us are unmarked. So God is trying to tell you that, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power. So what? As you are here, we want revival. You want revival, but are you wearing the dress for the revival? Are you wearing the uniform for the revival? You want revival? Are you putting on the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit on you? Is the Holy Spirit upon you as you are there? Can you do the basic things? When we went to the beginning of the scriptures, it was like the basic things are what? Laying your hands on the sick. Laying your hands from the sick are the basic things. So repentance are the basic things. Raising the dead are the basic things. Even the basic things, can you do the basic things? The advanced thing is perfection. That we are all supposed to head towards perfection, according to Hebrews. I want you to, wherever you are, stop whatever you are doing. I want you to think about God. Think about God's promise concerning your life. Some of you, this year is our year of manifestation. Some of you have heard so many things concerning your life. Some of you have heard promises. Some of you can even say, God said something about my life 2012, 2013. God said something. God has said something concerning my life. See, they are all coming to pass. I want you to take just 1 minute in silence. No song playing in the background. Sit up. Think about the promises of God concerning your life. Count them and begin to name them one by one. God, you said this concerning my life. God, you said I'll marry at this time. God, you said this. God, you said that. Have you not said that your promises are abounding to your name? Think about all these things. Think about them. Begin to ponder, meditate on them. Begin to ponder and meditate on them. Ponder and meditate on them. I have one of God's choicest servants here, a woman of God, and I want her to sing again. Anytime she's here, it's just a blessing. And she's highly anointed in ministering praises and worship to God. I want you to be silent as she sings. Felicity, are you there?
Yes.
I want you to sing the song. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe. You know, that song is very, very powerful. Do you know why? That song, the revelation behind that song is God's breath is upon you, clothing you in power. See, I want us to meditate on the song as she sings it. And if you don't have the lyrics to the words of that song, you can check Google and begin to sing it. So the platform is yours. Begin to sing.
Spirit to spirit, I'm lighted by your word. And with your breath of life, that's how I come alive. That's how I change my world. Father to child, from your spirit to my spirit, I'm lighted by your word. And with your breath of life, that's how I come alive. That's how I change my world. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe. Oh God, just breathe your name upon me, breathe. Yahweh is your name, Jesus. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Boys, begin to speak in tongues and think of God breathing upon
just
you.
Just breathe your name upon me.
Connect to the worship and begin to speak in tongues. Let God's name breathe upon you and clothe you with power. Functioning, a revival. Let's open our mouth and begin to speak in tongues.
Just breathe your name upon me. Just breathe your name upon me. Oh, breathe. Your hail is your name, breathe, Lord. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe. Oh,
and la. Then let's sing the song too. Then we yesterday is gone. Holy Ghost power breathe on me.
Yesterday is gone. Today I'm with thee. Holy Ghost power. Breathe on me.
Come
breathe on me.
I say, Keshati and Duzu to work
on me.
Duze Brandi Kadis.
Holy Ghost power.
Brandi Zedi Kaduze
Brandi. On me. Yesterday.
I'll be to meditate on how big God is. In your life, begin to meditate.
Ghost,
on the bigness of God. Hey, meditate on it. Meditate
on me.
What God has said in your life.
On me.
In the name of Jesus. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. In the name of Jesus. Pass. In the name of Jesus. It will come to pass. In the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes, that day I'm with thee. Hold those fires. Breathe on me, God, breathe on me.
Burn in me, burn in me.
Breathe on me, burn in me.
Burn in me, burn in me.
Holy Ghost, burn in me.
Holy Spirit, burn in me. Empower me, oh Kazia. Cause Ilia Dodi Ataka Diandosha. Be upon us. Revival, revival. Oh Kazia, Randanda Diandua Zeti Alia Kabadua. Hey, Kada Dade Kadusha.
Empower me.
Hey, empower me, God.
Empower me. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost,
Yes,
today we need today.
The word says that we should come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace and favor. Oh God, we have come as a joint family unit, we as War Room Youth Fellowship. We have no power of our own. Please sing this song. Sing the song for me. We have no power of our own.
We have no power of our own.
We are depending on you, God.
We depend on you, Holy Spirit.
We don't have any power
we
of our own.
We have no power of our own.
Sing it.
We have no
power
Alpha
depending on the delegated
we have no
given to us, God. Father, in the name, we have come your presence, oh God. We are waiting
we
on you.
Depend
Father, in the name of Jesus, fill us with your power. Clothe us with your power. Clothe us with your power. Clothe us with your power. We can function in this last day. We can function in this last day. We pull down every evil imagination. We pull down every evil imagination. Every high tech exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We bring to captivity every thought. Of Christ in the name of Jesus, we bring objection.
We depend on you,
oh God, that has brought, oh God, divert from the path, oh God, that you have given to us.
We
to
have
in the name of Jesus, lead us through righteousness. In the name of Jesus, help us walk through righteousness.
We
in the name of Jesus, help us walk through that sanctification that you have taught us. In the name of Jesus, help us, oh God, fill us with fire. In the name of Jesus, fill us with fire. In the name of Jesus. Father, we have come to your presence as children. The basic tenets, oh God, of Christianity, you call it the basic tenets. Oh God, are moving towards perfection, oh God. Father, oh God, you have promised us, oh God. Hey, your word are yea and amen, oh God. We, oh God, give us the ability to wait. Give us the ability to be patient in you. Oh God, give us the ability to wait upon you. It is hard, oh God. It is hard. But, oh God, give us long suffering. Long suffering is the ability to wait and suffer. Oh, you are patient. Give us the ability to be patient whilst we are going through whatever we are going through. Joseph endured the prison because of long suffering. Oh God, give us that ability to suffer for long and not fail. We shouldn't fail, oh God, whilst we are waiting for you. Oh God, whilst we are waiting for you, oh God, we shouldn't divert, oh God. Whilst we are waiting for you, oh God, we shouldn't enter a place that, oh God, that is not of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says that you bound yourself by promise and by an oath. Father, in the name of Jesus, you also said that you are not a God that you should lie. In the name of Jesus, every promise that you have said concerning our life shall manifest in the name of Jesus. They shall come to pass in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They shall come to pass in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They shall come to pass in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Shall come to pass in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Shall come to pass in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We have to bring our life before your throne of grace. Unworthy is us, oh God. Our life is not important, oh God, till you make it important. Till you add importance to our life is not important. Till you add value to our life is not important. Till you strike a covenant with us, oh God. Father, let us encounter you in a dimension, oh God, that is above the basic. Let us encounter you in a dimension that is above the fundamentals. Let us encounter you above a dimension that is above raising the dead and healing people, laying of hands. Let us encounter you above that. Let us understand, oh God, you. Some of you today, the fire is going to be upon your heart. Some of you are going to feel rushes, heat. Some of you are just going to feel hot all of a sudden. Some of you are going to feel a tingling sensation upon you. Some of you are going to cry the whole day. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in your heart. The Holy Spirit is making things right. The Holy Spirit is working in your heart. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. Every promise of God is going to come to pass. You are going to manifest it, and you will come back and say, wow, I was once in this position. Father, we know that we have manifested in Jesus' name. We know we have manifested every promise in Jesus' name because we know it is going to come to pass. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We trust you are blessed. This is War Room, a youth fellowship dedicated to raising an awareness of the Holy Ghost outpouring in our dispensation. We are igniting young hearts with the fire of the Lord through consistent word study and prayer. Stay connected with us across all social media platforms. Until we meet again, Shalom.